Welcome to Peter's Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Pui Navarro is an Ishta Yoga senior teacher, a Spanish native actress, and a theater producer who focuses on social issues and human rights. She's been in New York since 2005. Pui began writing when she felt the need to turn the play she had produced at the United Nations into a film script. Pui's script, Life is a Dream, was selected at Dreamago 2014, Stephen Frears International Writers Lab. Pui has a master's degree in creative writing from NYU. She's worked at the Rubin Museum of Art as a storyteller for their Sleepovers series. She's written short stories and has performed for The Moth at their community programs. I get to teach with Pui at Ishta, and Pui's about to do a workshop for writers at Ishta. And we got to catch up and finally dig deeper in our conversations than we get to when crossing paths in the lobby. I hope you enjoy our conversation. I sure did. Here we go. Hi, Pui.
Hello.
How's it going?
Very, very good. I'm
welcome.
So happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you here. We are always crossing paths between classes.
Yes, exactly. I try to go into your class.
Yeah.
Like, get inspired.
Well, thanks. It's always a treat to have you. And I always keep my eye on what you're up to because so many students who come through teacher training mention your class when we get around to doing hands-on. They're always complimenting you and saying, I want to do that thing that Pui does. And you have a very much of a style, I guess you could call it, maybe,
yeah.
that is all about taking care of a person and making them feel good in class.
Yes, I think, which that sometimes gets me in trouble, not in class, but in my personal life. Like I take the role of a caretaker sometimes. And so I'm learning to find the balance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard that I have the touch.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like a beautiful moment, normally in Shavasana, but also in Child's Pose, like to really be present with the students. And yeah.
Yeah.
And then I do different, like I come up with different kinds of hands-on. I sometimes forget to ask. You know, mm-hmm. I try to be always very, very respectful
of
the other people.
Now in our trauma-sensitive time, we
exactly.
need to remember that.
But then, you know, then I make a joke and say, well, for everybody else that I'm in touch already, if you don't want me to, and everybody in general does, but they don't, I don't take it personal.
Right.
Like, no problem.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and I felt very lucky once because I also forgot to ask.
Yeah.
Because I never used to ask. So it's like learning a new habit.
Never did I. Yeah.
And a young woman, I gave her this little adjustment and she just almost not emotional, said, I prefer not to have hands on.
Wonderful.
And so it was great. So I was like, oh, thanks. Okay.
Yeah, I always say thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
And for any reason, sometimes they see that you put oils and they're afraid of their skin.
Right.
Or sometimes one woman said to me at the end, I'm so sorry that I say no, but I'm sick and I didn't want. And I thought like, wow, how beautiful, right?
Yeah.
How respectful.
So
it can be anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know, I know that many people come to my class for the hands-on.
right.
Yeah, interesting, right?
And after this, many more will come.
Yes.
What is this hands-on? It's so special. Yeah. And I know that you mentored a lot with Mona over the years.
Yes.
And so the way that you teach is obviously going to be influenced by that, but you bring additional stuff too, because Mona doesn't do the same kinds of hands-on that you do.
Yeah,
yeah. Where did you...
But yeah, it's very interesting, the story. I was doing a theater play. I'm an actress and a writer. Well, I've been writing lately in my life, but originally all my training was in acting after dropping engineering in my second year of college. So I was doing a play where I was playing a yoga teacher. But and so somebody came and said, oh, I didn't know you did yoga because I could do a headstand.
Right.
And I say, no, I don't. I just, I fake it so well.
Right.
But I don't. So, and she knew how much I love to prepare my characters and to be very specific and in like finding the character. And she said, why don't you come to my class, to the class that I take?
Uh-huh.
So she took me to Yoga Works where Mona was pregnant with her daughter years ago, and I landed in her class. And what really connected me was the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, how does she know that I'm going through all these things in my life? Like, is she reading my brain or something?
Yeah.
And then in the teacher training, I realized that we all go through the same things. So one of the keys for me is to find the philosophy that I wanna bring to class, to also find what I'm going through at this moment of my life and all the books that I'm reading that are kind of like helping me and making me inspire,
right.
I just share them in class.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think of the sequence by thinking of the philosophy first.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if it's about fear, let's do thigh openers, or if it's about heart and relationship, let's talk about the heart chakra. But yeah, I think of the philosophy first. And I think that's a great thing that I've learned with Mona through the years, to use the philosophy, but to use what I am interested in.
Right.
Sometimes I quote John Lennon, or I quote Eddie Vedder, or I quote like things that really resonate with me, because I know that different people are, or the Vedas or the Upanishads,
mm-hmm.
that are going to resonate with everyone,
right.
or with some people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you helped me by telling a bit of your writer's story when I was working on my book, Yoga for Artists.
Yes.
And I feel like one of the things that we as artists do is we're always repurposing and reprocessing information. Yeah. And so it's so useful for what you just described in yoga mm-hmm. class to make it have this multidimensional quality.
Yes.
Sometimes you end up in a class and it's about the hip joint and you feel like you're an anatomy lesson, but it's since yoga, and I was just speaking about this in the last podcast, about how yoga is like a way of life.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So when you can bring in these other layers and other references, it helps to make that more clear.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like interested, like your path for writing became through yoga or not? Or
That's a great question. I was always interested in writing. And so I was always interested in basically all of the arts,
yes.
you know, and that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And because of, you know, the nature of the way I was brought up, that was discouraged, you know, no, that's not a way to make a living, you know, you
yes,
should go to engineering
exactly.
school
yeah.
or something,
okay.
right? I was always, you know, just doing all this stuff, making it up on the side and just doing the best I could. And I wrote poetry and then I wrote
oh, wow.
songs and I was a musician forever. And so the writing was coming as songs. And at a certain point...
That's why you're so connected to kirtan.
Yeah. And then at a certain point, I had this idea about a screenplay. So I started to think like I was studying singing in opera a little bit. And so I kind
Amazing.
Of crafted a little bit of an opera story, the book, right? And then I had another idea and I thought, oh, this would make a great screenplay. So I did it as a screenplay. And then I had another screenplay idea and I thought, you know what? This would be so interesting to, instead of just only having the dialogue, to go inside and think, what is all the motivation and all
yes.
of that? So I thought, maybe I could try to write this as a novel.
Yeah.
And
which you need to write it down. Or that's what I do. I do all the background of my characters. I need to be really like the last film I wrote that I'm doing the rewrites to present it to the producers. When I went to the rewrite, I realized that the flaw, I realized because of this wonderful mentor, writer mentor, Maggie Soboyle, she asked me, what is the background? Like there is a flaw here because we don't connect to the characters. So I rewrote for myself all this biography of this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized reading the script, of course he would never do this. Of course he would take this different choice.
Mm.
Because in a film, it's all about the choices that your character does. Right?
Right.
And but then, like, the choses have to, like, as we do, we say in yoga, go to your deepest values. And you might be a flawed character, which I believe all of us are. We
right.
are all everything, and that's the beauty of nature.
Yeah.
And so then, like, following our choices, we are discovering character, that what makes people get interested in character-driven films, for example.
Right, right.
Because you feel compelled, you want, like, you want him to you know, to be the hero, to win, and then when something wrong happens, you get like, oh no, that is like right. what happened to me, and like, you know, you root for the characters and you
yeah.
want to root for them.
And that's so interesting, because so often I'm, you know, especially in teacher training where people are trying to understand some of these philosophical notions about what is life about, and you come into this part where the question always comes up, why is there evil, or why is there
yeah.
challenge, and, you know, why isn't it just like, you know, goodness and happiness?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and then what you just described is such a perfect from the other direction, because I often say, imagine you went to a movie and you got in and it was actors you really like, and in the first scene they're in love, and in the last scene they're just still in love, and nothing
nothing
changed.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
it's
a boring
actually
life.
Like, theater is based on conflict.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Finding the conflict. If you don't have conflict, you don't have story.
No drama.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I just was reading this wonderful book, which was published many, many years ago, but it landed in my hands, and is Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh. And one of the things, like, say, that concept of evil we have created.
Mm-hmm.
So we created, we believe, we say in yoga, whatever you place in your head will shape your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we created this we need, it's like the big movies. We create our imagery and our myths.
Yes.
Like they did in the mythology, in the Greek mythology, to try to explain the world. And then years later, we discovered that Greek mythology, well, maybe was not explaining what we were going through at this moment, but most of it, yes. So I do believe that we created. But also the other side of the coin says is, in order to remember who we are and what we are coming from, which is the light, which is like, you know, I do believe that love has no opposite. So we come from that love, unconditional, bigger than life, love.
Mm-hmm.
We need to experience the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And by experience what it is not, we understand what is.
Yeah.
So maybe this experiment called life is that, us coming here and through our experiences, realizing, remembering who we are.
Yeah.
So I think we do have to go through all these, not as such beautiful experiences or conflicting or mistakes, so-called mistakes, because
yeah.
I don't think they are real mistakes. I
yeah.
do believe everything happens for a good reason. So then we kind of grow spiritually, understand a little bit more of who we truly are.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. And I would even take what you are saying one step further, because when we say a story, you know, or we have a drama, we have in our mind a movie, you know, and it gets to this place where they find this happiness at the end. They found the difference between the love and the opposite, right?
Yeah.
And then they got the experience. In a movie, the movie ends, but in life, there's just now a new story. And maybe there's many stories, and they don't
yes.
seem so clear, like what's the beginning and what's the end. And more, I like to point out that the nature of life is this stuff. And
yes.
so the whole time, this is what we're doing. It's not like we're trying to make it other than this. We're just facing all of the challenges
yes.
in the most wise way we can.
Exactly. Right? At this moment in our path, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have to do the same thing tomorrow and the next tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so the more that we can find the ways to see the light in everything, the more that the drama becomes just what's going on around this sattvic existence, right? Like you're in it and you're engaged and it makes you emotional and whatever, but you're able to also find that it's okay that this is going on.
Yeah.
This is life.
Absolutely. And not buy into the drama. So if we don't like feel that that's what we need and we just realize like, you know, there's the ups and downs in life, then we kind of are the witness. And in a way, if we imagine that the end of our movie is like, no matter what we do, we are going to end up in the right place.
Yeah.
Then you take a lot of pressure and then you begin to enjoy life more. And the yogis believe that the natural state of being is joyfulness, joy of enthusiasm and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So once we let go of the drama. And yes, there are difficult situations. We cannot prevent life from happening, but we can choose our reaction to everything that happens. So then life becomes less dramatic and more enjoyable moment. But also because I do believe that this society, which we create, has not taught us how to see the extraordinary in the ordinary, to see the beauty in the beautiful moments, to see the beauty, which is what we do in class, just come back to the present. Can we enjoy this moment for what it is?
Right. And this how are people at the end of class? They're blissed out.
Blissed. So can we do that every moment of our days? Just be present, be present, be present. And suddenly something really shifts.
Yeah.
I love that we are like giving like these little wizards, just sharing the knowledge that we learned in teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
And then now and if you look at all in all the philosophies or religions, like you pray to be present.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as the mantra. You do the mantra, you repeat the mantra just to bring the mind to the moment. You surrender to a higher power.
Mm-hmm. And then, so the next thing that comes up in teacher training when we say something like this to students who are, you know, very earnest, students in teacher training, they're so sincere, you know, then the next question is always, but then doesn't that make you stop trying? What about social justice? What if you're just content, then what? Aren't you withdrawing from life?
But I think being present make us be more active. Make us be more, if this is your thing, then you go out and really do it. Because you are completely present and you realize that there are many ways to express how we express our own reality, our internal reality to the external world. And if you feel, okay, this is your choice, be an activist. Don't make me do what you want to do. Just do it yourself and enjoy doing it. And then everybody will learn from your your example.
Yeah.
You know, the world is perfected by your example, not by your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So go outside and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will learn your own path. And I believe people that say that, they are just thinking it. They are not really experiencing it. Because when you experience, you wouldn't even question it. You would like just go and do it and be so excited that like you tell everybody, I'm doing this. Let's do it together if you want. And then people get inspired and then they come with you.
Right. Imagine a paradise of palm trees, rice paddies, beautiful people, beautiful colors, wonderful weather in the middle of February, and yoga to boot. That's the retreat in Bali, February 2020. led by Aino Sirin and myself, with special guest Wendy Newton, February 8 through 15. Check out the show notes for a link, or see peterfurco.com for more information. Can't wait to go. Can't wait to see you there. Bali. The other component of that that I hear a lot is, but if I'm not angry, then I have no motivation, or if I'm not angry, then it's not going to get done. So there's what you just said is this enthusiasm. It doesn't require anger. It can be motivated as much by love, which doesn't mean you're you like by, what you
with
see.
Passion.
Yes. Yes.
Passion.
Passion.
So it is true. I always tell, if you get angry, instead of getting caught in the anger, just say, wow, this is workable energy. Absolutely. But you don't have to be angry to use the inner energy. So enthusiasm comes from a Greek word that means to literally to have the gods, Theos, inside. Mm. So we tap into something that we already have inside ourselves and we use it. And Eckhart Tolle explains this very nicely, explains it as we do not get enthusiastic because of the activity, but because we tap into that inner self, then whatever we do becomes passionate, becomes enthusiastic.
It has that quality.
Yes. Whatever we do, it can be cleaning the streets. It can be serving drinks in a bar. It can be cleaning windows for a company. Anything we do in life, and you see how many people really love their jobs no matter what they are doing. We've encountered those people in life, and I believe in a way they are naturally enlightened. I believe sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, I needed to come to yoga to learn certain things. But then I see people, I'm like, wow, it's marvelous to realize that they just get it naturally.
Yeah.
And like,
that's
and
not their challenge.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have to work other challenges.
Right.
Which I believe, like, we are here to remember. And it's a choice. I mean, life is a mystery.
Yeah.
But it's a marvelous mystery. And I do believe that we are here to create our lives, or at least to create the universe around us that we want to see. Once we realize how powerful and how thought is creative, then if we keep bringing the thought to the aligned with our soul purpose, then we can move on, and then we can, everything we do is gonna drive us into that end of the movie, which is uniting with this oneness or self-realization.
Yeah.
Which I believe, like, the biggest feat of the human being is to self-realize, is to remember, like, okay, this is who I am, but who I am is not what we do outside. It's not the social justice. It can be, but it's what we do inside. So then no matter what, like, social justice or taking care of the environment or taking care of your 7 children, then all is God's work, or universal intelligence work, or universal field of consciousness work.
Yeah, we're always in our work. You can't stop.
You know, exactly.
The Bhagavad Gita says that there's no way that you can stop moving, and so you will be moving. And then the self-realization component is: can you be aware as you're doing this moving that you're bigger than that, that you can, you're also the consciousness of what happens when you stop the focus outward, you feel the gods inside, and you realize then that you are the whole of that, right? Like the thing that's going on outside, maybe that will never change. You know, one of Yogananda's lineage, Lahiri Mahashai, I think he was like a bureaucrat, right? Yep. And he never stopped being a bureaucrat, but he was also this enlightened master who was teaching this powerful Kriya Yoga to various students. It didn't require a change of the outside.
Exactly.
It just became, I'm that, and I know that I am also divine.
And it's, sometimes it's easier if you go up to the mountain and there's nobody around and then you feel enlightened, but then you come back to the real world, somebody steps on your foot and then, what are you doing? Like you get like, so it is,
you
that's why
that
it's
habit.
Beautiful, like to go out, to find the peace and then to come and to find the same peace in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of and all the things that throw you off. And I do believe subconsciously we find those experiences that throw us off in order to keep in this path, right? To keep recreating.
That's the drama, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Until we stop and then we kind of graduate from that experience and then we seek other kinds of different experiences.
Yeah.
And what happens in life? Like generally the students, like my last film, my film that I'm raising the money for, life is a dream. And this subtitle is, or the crime of being born, which is one of the lines in this wonderful play by Calderon, written in the 1600s, that talks about immigration, abuse of power, and about realizing is like we have free will or determination. And I do believe we have free will, and is how we use the free will and how our actions affect other people's lives, that we keep learning and reinventing ourselves and figuring out and growing and
Yeah, I like this idea of we are creative and we have this will to create life. It seems very logical to me that there's this saying in I think it's from the Bible, man was created in God's image.
Yes,
right?
Yes, and, absolutely.
And there's such a recurrence of the same kinds of themes in creativity,
yes.
You know, the same kinds of things from the idea to the manifest. And that's God calling right now.
Yes.
Hello. And I think that if you even go all the way to the metaphysical place, the components of us, as we describe in yoga, is we have this Atman, right? This consciousness that is connected to everything that is.
Yes.
It is the consciousness.
Yes.
And it's experiencing through us.
Yes.
As what we think of as us, right?
Yes.
Our mind that we're using right now
yes.
is powered by the consciousness,
yeah.
right? And so when we have this creative impulse, it's literally the same creative impulse that's creating everything.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And if we think about ourselves as like the God, the ultimate creator, as the ocean, and we are a drop of the water in the sea, in the ocean, we have the same qualities.
Right.
So if he creates, we are creators. We are made at his image,
which
is also...
We are creating, right,
yes,
this moment. Right.
And we are here to do that. This is a beautiful quote by Elizabeth Gilbert that talks about creativity and about that, how the words want to be made through you. So we just need to open the channel and connect to that creative intelligence that is out there.
Yeah.
We just need to shut off the brain,
the
constant chatter, the rictus.
Yeah.
And once the brain is silenced out of that spaciousness, then we can draw from that universal creativity, universal intelligence, that big consciousness. And that's how I believe that all the people that created new things or changed the status quo, like the new, the great thinkers like Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Nelson Mandela. Yeah. Nelson Mandela was in prison for 30 years meditating every day. Mm. And he came and changed the status quo of a whole country.
Yeah.
And because they connected and they were able to see something completely new. And they believed they could create it, and they created it.
Mm-hmm. And they make the effort to do that.
And
they
that
connect
is
with
the
that.
Power of just one person,
right?
Which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And we all have that power. I do believe we all have that power. Mm-hmm. We just need to trust, to believe in it, and to be quiet inside and listen to our instincts, our intuitions, and to connect to that creative force that is out there waiting for us to draw from it.
Yeah, and I think that in every moment that you can do that, you're fulfilling your purpose.
Yes.
And how that's going to look in the material manifestation of it is the thing, like the Gita always says, don't be attached to that, right? To stay connected with what it is that you are in the act of doing, in the act of creating, in the act of pursuing, and to not get discouraged, or on the flip side, not get elated when something comes up and you're like, finally, I made it.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
And then,
and
boom.
You didn't. You don't.
Yeah, there is no made it or not made it.
Yeah.
There's only
exactly
the acting,
exactly,
the doing.
Exactly. Which we think that it is the result that what we are looking for, but we are not looking for the result. Like what the spiritual teaching allow us to see is that it is in the path. It is by doing it, in the doing. And the most difficult thing, or one of the big challenges I believe in life, is to let go of the attachment to a specific outcome.
Yeah.
In something creative, but also in our relationships.
Yeah.
Or in our everyday life, or even at work, we want things like, oh, it has to be like this, and then we get discouraged, or when it doesn't happen. And when we let go of the attachment to that outcome, then we are free.
Yeah.
Then we can do
anything. Then you're just doing.
Yes. And then we enjoy just the fact of doing,
yeah,
or create, or just by expending the time doing it. So then we've won the battle. Then there is no battle. Then there's nothing to win.
There's no,
it's
further
like, oh,
battle.
Wow. They were, exactly.
Right. There may be interesting outcomes.
Yes, yes.
But they're not the goal.
Exactly. And I think this is one of the most interesting things to connect with, to learn in a way.
You know, it's great. You're quoting Eckhart Tolle and Gandhi, and I'm going to quote Brad Pitt.
I love it.
I just got an email from W Magazine or something, and it had this quote from him, and it said, you know, success is a real trip up. I forget the exact words he used, but he says, you know, because success puts you in pursuit of the wrong thing. Mm. You don't look inside and go deep.
Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. Exactly. We think it's something outside. There is this wonderful film called I Am, which should be enough. I am. Just being is this famous director of Hollywood movies. He was the director of Bruce Almighty, all these big comedies with Jim Carrey. He became a multimillionaire, bought his first big house in Hollywood and blah, blah, blah. Then second Oscar, second house. And then he got into like this accident, I think bike accident. He got this very, very odd disease that only happened to athletes. And that you cannot heal from an injury, never, ever. So then these people end up, like, generally a couple of cases, big cases, famous athletes committed suicide.
Mm.
So he tried everything possible in the Western medicine, and then he tried everything possible in the Eastern medicine, nothing helped. So he went to India, and he was just welcoming death, because he, you know, and then, boom, the moment he surrendered, he started to heal.
Mm.
the moment he was able to walk, and, you know, I think he was walking with crutches or and able to hold a camera, he got together with his best three friends, and he went to the world to ask, to figure it out, to ask to all these, to Suzuki, to Howard Zinn, to all these wonderful thinkers and philosophers, what's wrong with the world? Mm. Why did I get this? Mm. And he, by asking what's wrong, he discovered what's right. Mm. And it was, I am.
Mm.
And he stopped working in Hollywood. He went to a small, he said, like, the when I went to my second house, my second mansion, when I bought my second mansion, and I entered, I'm like, this is not making me happier.
Uh-huh.
This is not what I thought I was looking for. And then he started teaching at community college. I think recently he just made another movie, going back to, you know, but probably from a completely different perspective.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Although he made his laugh to many, many, many people with his movies, but it was about, like, finding that what Brad Pitt was saying, that success,
yeah,
that society make us believe and we buy into it. And then we realize that success is to be here, is to be every day breathing and connected and
yeah
and alive. We are alive, and we forget the tragedy of life is not death. It's like what we allow to die within ourselves, mm-hmm, while we live,
mm-hmm,
because we are pursuing the wrong thing. Maybe right. There's no right, there's no wrong, but that the thing, because the impulse behind that pursuit is fear, not
mm-hmm
love.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very good thing, yeah.
Yeah. Podcasts stay afloat as labors of love, but they also need to pay the bills. Some do this through random ads. Others can get by as being infomercials for whatever's being talked about on the podcast. I'm hoping to support Peter's podcast, much like a pay what you will yoga class. But there's no box at the front of the door here, so instead I'm using the digital equivalent. That's why I'm asking you to please support Peter's podcast on patreon.com. Instead of a box, there's a link. It's easy, it's flexible if you want to vary your support, and most of all, it keeps this podcast going. Thank you to everyone who's already a podcast patron, and please check it out if you're not. Thank you.
If we observe every action that we do, which is the great thing about yoga, we connect with that radical awareness of our actions and our thoughts and our reactions and our words.
Yeah, self-study.
Absolutely, Svati. Yeah, yes. If we are able to develop this radical awareness and we realize how we are reacting in this life, how we are responding to the events in life, we either come from a place of love or from a place of fear. So then, just by being aware is a healing quality in itself, we start shifting. We're like, no, wait a second, I'm consciously gonna choose differently. I'm not gonna say this word, I'm gonna say this other word. I'm not gonna make this action, I'm gonna make this other action. And then you feel that contentment, santosha, right? Which I do believe, no matter what happens in your life, we can get into that point where there is some drama around, but we navigate it in a sattvic way.
Right.
So sattva is to be able to move from the ups and the lows and the good and the bad in the most graceful way.
Yeah.
So it's not absence of it. It's
right.
Just really embracing it and
right.
accepting it
right.
and moving it.
Like
there was this famous actor from many years ago in The Fonz, the one that, what was his name? Henry Winkler?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, I see the caca, this shit coming up, and I'm like, I just turn and let it pass and
right.
I see it and I keep walking.
That's good. Yeah.
PG-13.
Yeah.
But amazing, right? Like
right.
just to flow with it or
exactly.
like skip it or
exactly.
see it come like, nope, I'm not going to jump into this car. I'm going to jump into this next one.
Right.
Yeah. But it takes a while to be able to develop that awareness. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we do in yoga every day.
That's what I say, yeah.
So I always tell my students, if we take what we do in class and we bring it to the outside world, this is it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Can we really bring yoga to life? Because those are the tools that allow us to be human, to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be as we are made to be.
Yeah, exactly.
To turn the light on, stop going to the fear place. It's so brilliant right now in this moment in history that has even been elevated onto the presidential debate stage, that we have Donald Trump on the one side screaming about how you should be afraid.
Yeah.
And then we have Marianne Williamson quoting The Course in Miracles.
Yes.
At the same time about love versus fear. Yeah. It's an amazing moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us a little more explicitly about the film that you're writing.
So Life is a Dream is a movie about forgiveness. I chose the event in Argentina because I was, which is the disappear of 30,000 people from 1976 to 1983. They had a dictator, Videla. But all these dictatorships in South America, it began with Chile in 73, then Argentina, then Nicaragua, I believe. It was orchestrated by the US. Mm-hmm. So it was Kissinger, and I believe maybe began with Nixon, but I think the next president that he was for, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm. So they gave all this money to all these dictators to perpetuate dictatorship because they were afraid of communism.
Right.
Yeah, to fight communism, which is what was happening in this country as well, the fight against communism. They were not communists. They were more like leftist. Exactly.
Yeah, whatever you call it.
But they began to disappear them, send them into planes, throw them to the big river. My film, the lead of my film, the hero, is a person who was playing in the wrong side of the coin.
And is it a documentary or
no,
fiction?
No, it's based, it's like a fiction.
Historical fiction.
Like what I teach in my workshop, From the Heart to the Mouth to the Page, is that fiction can be a way to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Especially most of the research that I did and most of the people that I was able to listen to their testimony or to talk to them, I kind of put all these different stories together into one person.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that I tell in my movie that happened in 77 is true, but maybe didn't happen everything to the same person,
right,
but it's happened to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to access that because in Argentina is one of the few countries that literally opened the wound, let it bleed, talked about it, healed it, and so now they are able to heal from that.
Mm.
In Spain, I'm from Spain, same thing happened. Instead of 30,000, it was 120,000 because it was a longer span of time from after the Civil War, right after, till the 80s. And nobody dares to talk about it. So it was very difficult for me to get any information in Spain. So I thought, like, by making this movie, I could put a mirror to my society so then we can start a conversation. But still, I did something in this movie where my hero is the bad guy, is somebody that grows up in this, like his family are military people. He's in this detention center taking pictures. He doesn't believe he's doing anything wrong. And then he starts realizing what is happening, like in the hiding in this detention center that is actually a torture center and disappearance center. But he's unable to tell, is unable to say this is wrong, which is what many of us do in this society. We see what is happening, but we are afraid to denounce the wrongdoing because we are afraid for our own lives.
Right.
But instead of, that's why, like, you want to be an activist, go and do it. and say this is not right, or I think this unconstitutional, this is, and many of us would just turn our heads and look somewhere else and then pretend it's not happening or it's happening to somebody else. So, and in my movies, like, are we willing to forgive that person? And I do believe all our mistakes are forgivable if we have the courage to admit them. So at the end of the movie, he, like, he believes, like, this professor that he admired end up in the detention center. He witnessed his torture. He tries to help this professor. And he believes the death of this professor is his fault. So he lives with this guilt for 40 years. And at the end of his life, he gets, not his life, but his career, which is now he's become an actor in Spain. He gets the opportunity to go back to Argentina and actually meets the person. And he's able to ask for forgiveness, which means he was able to forgive himself. So that's my movie.
Great. Wow.
So now, like, yeah. A couple of, I do believe it has to be made in Spanish. A couple of producers in the US and in Canada gave me great feedback, but it was not the kind of movie they are doing. So, you know, in Spain, some people are reading it, but so I'm excited, like, to find the right person that is going to help me to raise the money and we start production. And
awesome. Well, good luck with that.
Yes. It's out in the universe.
Yes.
It's coming. It's happening.
Yes. You are making it.
Yes.
Awesome. And then you are doing a workshop at ISHTA in August. And I attended one of your previous workshops and enjoyed it so much. It's about writing. And I actually took something I wrote in your workshop and put it into a book project that I was working on at the time. So it was really fun and useful. Do you want to describe a little bit what the plan is? How does it go? What do you do?
Yeah. And also,
you gave the title a moment ago too.
From the heart to the mouth to the page. I do believe, like, I asked you, like, what was your path to writing? And my path was through yoga. By doing yoga, I was able to sit down and actually write because I needed to move to think. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I was all my life having all these anxiety attacks because I needed to be quiet until I was able to channel all that anxiety through yoga. Then I was able to trust my instincts and not to judge myself or my writing and begin this process of writing. So then I thought, there is something really beautiful, because that's the way it worked for me, to mix yoga, meditation, and the writing. So that's how I came up with this idea.
Nice.
And so I always believe that we can only write from experience, that good writing is personal, and that, like, if we allow ourselves to come into this meditative state, we write from this stream of consciousness that is almost unconscious because we are not using the analytical brain. So then we can edit later. But we keep producing this material that then we can use. So first what I do, the structure of the workshop is we open the heart with asana. Can be restorative asana because this is open to all the levels. So always finding the way that everybody can access it. You can be in a chair, but we do some asana. I end up with a goddess pose, Supta Baddha Konasana, to open the heart. And also I use the philosophy to see if sometimes, like, to dissolve some of those beliefs that we have of the little judge, I'm not good enough, I cannot write good, like, somebody else is better than me. Comparison is the thief of joy. So, and then we do a writing exercise, which is normally 8 minutes and 20 seconds of stream of consciousness. And then we highlight, we share or not share. I always give the possibility, but you find out that in those 8 minutes of writing, there's some things that you really like, that you really connect. So we kind of, like, get those those seeds,
yeah,
and then we can use it for the next exercise, and we keep adding and editing, and then we do a meditation for the throat chakra, which is the creativity. So we sit in meditation, we open the Vishuddha chakra, and we do that meditation, and then we write. We do another writing exercise. At the end of the class, what we do is a yoga nidra to unblock. Sometimes we have the writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
So we unblock conscious and subconscious blocks by doing the yoga nidra. And then I always do a little writing exercise,
uh-huh,
that I like, and which is like has to do with self-study and has to do. And the more I've been doing, then the other day was like a realization. It is an exercise of self-study and of understanding that everything we need to, we share is the things that we are telling ourselves. Everything is within ourselves.
Mm.
Everything that we think the other has to do or the other should do is probably we use this piece of advice towards ourselves. Boom, then that's it. That's exactly what we needed to hear. So all the answers are within ourselves.
Yeah. And that brings that all the way back to where you first went to Mona's class and said she was talking to you.
Yes.
Which I hear so
often.
Right.
That yes.
We're all on this path. We are all coming to the right place at the right time if we
yes.
get out of our way, and we'll hear the thing we need
yes.
to hear and act in the way with whatever's in front of us. And that will be our co-creation
yeah,
of the universe. Well, I'm looking forward to coming to your workshop.
I'm looking forward to you.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to read your writing.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Do you finish your films, your screenplays?
The screenplay I finished a long, long time ago. And mm-hmm. I've been working on fiction. So
mm-hmm.
I've written three novels. And I have a fourth that's, I think it's done, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well,
somebody said,
we don't finish the project. We just abandon them because
it.
We can always work like for the
I
rest
had
of our lives.
I abandoned this one and then I started shopping it a little and then someone had a very interesting observation. So reworked it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing some nonfiction writing too. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, but I'm going to run off and go teach yoga. So it's been delightful to
so
chat with you.
Yes.
And we have to do this again. It's always
yes.
a joy for me to talk with
such a
other
pleasure.
Artists, especially those who know yoga too.
And for me, like we always run into each other, but
yep.
today felt like we were having this beautiful conversation that I think we should have more often.
More often.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you for having me.
Namaste.
Namaste.
That's it for Peter's podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. I sure did. Please support Peter's podcast on Patreon. It's like going to a yoga class where you drop some dough in the box on your way out. Check it out. Patreon.com/Peter's podcast. Thank you.